It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
I rise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it. And I've left.
I got to tell you, this book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, the left and the mainstream media are going to have to sit there, and we've got to force them to respond to this book. This book is that important. Alex Jones cuts to the heart of the matter. If you compare the finest, and I'm telling you, you take MIT Technology Review, you take Science, take all these magazines and journals, add the electronic part of it, and you know, NPR, PBS, all of it, I'll match up and we'll go through and we'll do what Alex Jones put out there versus what your collective body has put out there. And if you're a sentient human being and just watching it, you say, well, God, Alex Jones was ahead of this. Not only that, he kind of explained it.
They're just in this huge revolution against choice and free will and normal technological development and adoption of technology that empowers humanity. Instead, they want adoption of technology, forced adoption, world IDs, global social credit scores, carbon taxes that dominate and monitor every facet of our lives.
You make the case of what the not just the new world order is, but using this great reset to really take up this whole idea of control and authoritarianism.
They have decided to trigger a controlled collapse and then bring in a new dark age to control the general public, where they will be in their Elysium fields. There is no new technology coming in. They're blocking that. And so really they're just imploding things under the cloud pivot model so that they can get that control over us.
Alex Jones cuts to the heart of the matter.
He has presented tons of valid evidence and facts that I think have been really, really important to raising consciousness to what the sort of technocratic global elite really want to do.
The true thing that you've done, which is stunning, if you look at the evidence of that and the facts, you are one of the great thinkers of this. That is very rare. You've got to go back almost to the revolutionary generation and see that. This book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, I'm telling you, everybody in America, the people that hate Alex Jones the most have to read this book. This is no beach read. You're not going to be flipping pages here. You're going to be having a pen out and you're going to be underlining stuff. It's amazing.
The Great Reset and the War for the World by Alex Jones. Available now at Amazon and InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to Information Operation. We are out of the studio this week, but we had a chance to speak to literally one of the most fascinating people in the world. It's going to be an exciting hour. Welcome Alex Jones to the program. Thanks for coming on.
Mr. Wood, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So look, before we get into all this, I want to ask you, you've been through the ringer over the last several years. How is Alex Jones doing personally at this point? You've been attacked by a very sophisticated machine. I'm just curious how you're doing as a human being.
You know, I always knew when I signed up for promoting freedom that I'd be attacked. And so it's the old World War II saying about when you're over the target, you get flak. And so This is where I expect to be. It's not fun, but it's also at another level invigorating to know that you're actually having an effect. So I'm doing great. I signed on for this, and so I'm ready for it.
Cool. So the cabal, if you will, for lack of a better word, is literally trying to destroy you. You've written a comprehensive book on the globalist agenda, what they're trying to do. It's quite obvious why they're after you. Tell me why. Well, let's start at the beginning. How did you decide you wanted to talk about the New World Order, and how did you get into all this as a child? And we'll go from there.
Well, I mean, I had family that was very well read and involved, and I had family that had worked in Iran-Contra and a bunch of other things. And so growing up, I heard them talking about all this stuff. So to me, it was just second nature to already know about how things really worked. And so I kind of have a leg up very early on learning about geopolitics and
clandestine things just because I had some family that was involved in the higher levels of foreign government overthrows and clandestine operations. So I kind of grew up hearing about all that, so that once I got older, I kind of saw what it was.
Yeah. So when did you figure out the New World Order was actually happening? Because, you know, I've been following you for decades, literally. I mean, what turned you on to that? I mean, was it just your family or what? Because you were way early on all this stuff and everybody's fascinated. How did you know about it 20 years ahead of everybody else? Because we were asleep or we were blind or we didn't want to believe it or what, but you got it. So what made that click in your mind 20 years ago?
You know, the primer was family that was involved in a lot of stuff, but yeah. They weren't pushing it on me. It was just kind of background noise. And then just very early on, I took some community college classes because I was already selling health memberships at a gym and making $100,000 a year when I was 19 years old. So I was already a successful salesperson. And I thought, well, I'll go try local community college and see if I want to go to the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got to the local community college, it was all just communist, anti-America, SJW, BS. I thought, whoa, everything I heard about growing up is real. I should try to oppose this. So I tried to get a job when I was 20 in talk radio. They said no. At 21, I said, I'll do an Access TV show. 6 months into the show, a local station was flipping to talk radio. They gave me a show. Within a year of that, it was the top-rated broadcast. And then I figured out how to syndicate my own broadcast out of my house, out of a bedroom, when I was about 23. And so since about 23 years old, I was on over 100 radio stations. And by 26 or so, I was on about 200 and was one of the fastest growing shows in the country back during the heyday of talk radio. So I was just very blessed that I was informed, involved, wanted to be engaged, and was right there and had basically instant success.
But you've done a lot of research, right, as well. I mean, you've read, you talk a lot about, you read the white papers, you read what the Rockefeller Foundation was putting out. I mean, when did it snap in your mind, like, this is actually what's going on? Because a lot of people have a hard time believing this evil is real. And they have a hard time wrapping around their heads around what's actually going on, you know? I mean, when did that happen for you?
It really happened back when I was a teenager.
Okay.
Because I wasn't just a bookworm. I was a jock, and I had jobs and girlfriends. But I was a big fan of comic books and a big fan of science fiction when I was like 10, 11, 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
But then I started reading geopolitical books like Brzezinski's books and Carol Quigley's books. Mm-hmm. And that was so much more interesting because it was actually reality-based. And they just very calmly talked about global corporate government, their plan for humanity, and what they were doing. So I was just very blessed to immediately, as a very young person, begin to actually read the blueprints that the ruling class had for the world. And so that kind of got me way ahead of the curve. But I mean, it's really simple. These guys are very, very arrogant. They admit their plans. They write books about it. And so thank God I started reading what they were saying instead of just going off the nightly news.
So this was early 20th century kind of material, right? I mean, the research shows that this has been going on for decades, not just 20 years, but a lot longer than that, right?
Yeah, this was stuff back to Plato 2,300 years ago. Mm-hmm. This was Malthus 300 years ago. This was 160, 70 years ago. Galton. This was all the major brains of what we call the Western establishment admitting their plan hundreds of years ago. So if you read what Malthus said, or you read what Galton said, or you read what Darwin said, or you read what the Blair family said, who George Orwell came out of, or the Huxleys. Aldous Huxley wrote Brave New World in 1932. And if you read that book, that's what we're living today. And he gave a speech and wrote a book in 61 called Brave New World Revisited, where he says, no, this book I wrote is not fiction. This is really just a science fiction version of what I believe is going to happen by the year 2020. And so that's why this information is so powerful, is because these people bragged about what they were planning.
So the book is The Great Reset. When did you decide to write the book? Because it's literally a treatise on everything that's been going on from the beginning. And if people want to get an idea of really what's happening in the background and has been happening for a long time. I mean, it really lays it all out beautifully, actually. When did you decide to write it?
About a year and a half ago, but Steve Bannon read the book and he said, you know, it's the most important book intellectually for America since the founding fathers. I don't want that much credit. In fact, our enemies have admitted who they are. This book was so easy to write. The problem was cutting it down to, how many pages is it? 300 and something pages long. Because most of the book is their quotes. This is an open public conspiracy that now that people read what they said 20 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, because this book just got finished a few months ago, when they read this, this is really what I call the Death Star plans. This is their own admission. Yeah. So it was a very easy book to write. I mean, the book could have been 10,000 pages long. I mean, I could have had 10,000 pages of all the horrible crap, like you'll own nothing, you'll have nothing, the future's not human, we need to get rid of the majority of people. Quite frankly, the book is their admission. This is a New World Order confession of playing God, of mad scientists saying, we're taking control of society. So people ask how I wrote this book, and I'm like, I mean, quite frankly, I put a bunch of quotes together. I actually wrote a lot that Tony Lyons cut out, and I recorded like 20-something hours that they transcribed that we cut down. So maybe an hour of what I recorded got in here, and then my footnotes are there. So that's why this is more, like I said, a confession than it is a book. I mean, this is in their own words.
Now, you say these people are arrogant, which they obviously are. What I can't understand is how they actually thought they're going to get away with this. I mean, I'm actually pretty optimistic because I see America waking up across the board and from the, you know, county level on down. And the recent elections have shown that. And we'll see what happens in November. But how did they think they could actually enslave the world and kill possibly a large percentage of the population? I mean, that's just Dr. Evil kind of stuff at this point.
Well, it really is. Well, why did the communist who took over half the planet thought? Because they were organized, good people weren't. How did Hitler take over Europe and North Africa and places and invade Russia? He thought he could do it.
Yeah.
And so, when you look back at Hitler in hindsight and say, man, this guy was an idiot. Well, he had the military. He had the power. He had those legions of troops and the tens of thousands of tanks and airplanes. And when he's up there looking out on that, he felt invincible. And so I used to watch comic book movies where the villain brags and the villain gives monologues. You think, oh, a villain wouldn't really do that, but that's criminology. These villains brag about what they've done. And as long as us little hobbits down here actually look at it and speak out against it and get involved, we will take their Ring of Mordor and throw it into the volcano. I mean, I think that's really, it goes back to basic psychology, basic criminology, that what you just said, why would they brag? Why would they say we're the final revolution, we're the end of history, we're going to make humanity obsolete, we're going to be God, like Noah Yuval Harari says, but they're really saying it.
Yeah.
And they're really trying it. So,
you've written the book, The Great Reset. What do you see? You know, people say it's depopulation. Some people say it's slavery for part of this population. It may be all of this. What do you see as their end goal? I mean, I've heard you use the term Elysium Fields. Where do you see them going? What is the goal of all this? I get a lot of people asking me this all the time. Why are they doing this? You know, what's the end?
Well, humanity has such incredible potential. And we are made in the image of God. What we believe, what we imagine, what we dream actually comes true with enough scientific knowledge and time.
Yeah.
And so they want to convince us we're animals. They want to convince us we don't have any destiny, to subserve or hand over our destiny to them. And that's really what this New World Order is trying to get humanity to not direct ourselves, but let these parasites direct us. So I talk about Elysium Fields. Obviously, for those that don't know Greek mythology, you've got the gods, and then you've got the demigods humans that have become almost godlike, who don't make it all the way to Mount Olympus, but the golden fields below godhood, that's where they live and basically incubate in this purgatory. And so the globalists say, we're not going to live forever. We're not going to be gods now. But if we can just take over and extend our lives a few hundred years, we'll develop the technology in the Elysium fields to become gods in the breakaway civilization of Mount Olympus. And again, that sounds fantastical. That sounds amazing. I didn't come up with that. They did. That's what they talk about. That's what Ray Kurzweil and Noah Harald Harari and just all these guys constantly talk about, how they're gods. Mm-hmm. And you know, Elon Musk said 5 years ago, he said, beware those that dream of AI gods. Beware those that worship AI gods. And these are just normal humans, but they've decided they're God. And they've decided that we're just cogs in their machine, that we should bow down to them and let them take over the world.
I heard you say on Bannon the other day that you thought that Hitler was just an offshoot of this. Do you see this as kind of a, because the term Fourth Reich has come up a good bit. Do you see this as a, is there some Nazi influence in this, a fascist influence, or is it something different? Is it communist? Is it all of it together? Is it just tyranny? What do you think?
Whether you call it tyranny or mm-hmm. communism or fascism or Nazism or communism, mm-hmm. those are all precursors to the tyrannies of the last 100 years. And so you can call it whatever name you want. These are modes of power that powerful corporations and powerful groups use for control. So when I say all of this has a Fourth Reich flavor to it, Hitler just picked up on the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute that got its information from the Cold Springs Harbor in New York and the Rockefellers. And so Hitler was terrible and a horrible thing, but he was only an offshoot of this eugenical thinking that precursed it. So yeah, this is the thing that's pushing this, this will to power, this tyranny spun off the Nazis. And so I wouldn't say what we're dealing with is Nazi, but the thing that created the Nazis, the thing that created the communists, it's what's spinning off the transgender movement, the leftist movement, the modern neoliberal movements. It's this authoritarian drive for power.
Well, you can see it across the board in vaccines. What do you think the goals of the vaccines are? Is it to depopulate? Is it to harm humanity? Is it to institute types of controls, vaccine passports? What do you think the end goal of that is?
Well, the first goal, whether they're injecting us with sugar water or with cyanide, is control over our bodies. And if you don't have bodily autonomy, if you don't have control over your body, you have nothing. And so the first goal is to have big pharma and big corporations in control of our bodies. But then when we look at actually what these so-called shots do, they don't work, because if they worked, I believe in science, right, take them all day. Real vaccines, real, you know, they may have side effects, but vaccines work like 99%.
Right.
This thing doesn't work. It's gene therapy.
Traditional
takes
vaccines
over our body.
Yeah.
Traditional vaccines. Mm. This is a biomedical gene therapy system that is preparing us for depopulation. And there's no doubt that the studies show lower fertility, lower immunity, higher cancer rates, blood clots, heart attacks, heart swelling, myocarditis. It's all a test to see what can they get away with. This is really an all-out assault against the general population.
Yeah, Naomi Wolf came out with information on the Pfizer docs last week that almost 50% of the pregnant women in the trial had miscarriages. So there's your, you know, your fertility issue right there. So
let's try the New England Medical Journal found 80%+ of women in the first two trimesters had miscarriages, and then a lower number in the third trimester. I mean, you can't make numbers up like that. It's just unbelievable.
No, and then with the spike proteins accumulating in the ovaries and other important places through the body. So I wrote an article a few years ago when you got deplatformed, because we're completely deplatformed. I mean, literally off 25 different, you know, Silicon Valley networks. When we started talking about election fraud, about the Biden crime family in Ukraine, about vaccine issues, I mean, this in really early 2020, they took us down. But I wrote an article saying if Trump didn't take care and rectify what just happened to Alex Jones, he would lose. Would you have done anything different in like trying to force the issue, or did you do all you could at that point to try to raise the issue of the deplatforming?
You know, back then I talked to Trump quite a bit, and he would just, he was like, Trump's a good guy, I believe, but it's like a broken record. Oh, you did a good job. Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. When Trump would call me, it was just to say good job, make me feel good. And he had his own agenda, wouldn't listen. And I told Trump, and I told everybody, I said, if they can censor me, they're going to censor you. And Trump just couldn't believe that would happen, but he's experienced that now.
Yeah.
So that's why they're so scared of Trump now coming back in 2024 after the midterms, 82 days, is because he's battle hardened now. He's been through this. He knows what they're doing. He knows how to stop the deep state. So, I mean, I knew I wasn't that important. Plus, the Wall Street Journal, about a year before I got deplatformed, about 9 months before, had a big NATO member, I forget the guy's name, write an article, and they said, we're going to ban WikiLeaks off the internet, and once the left wing puts up with that, we'll have them. We're going to ban Alex Jones. And once Alex Jones is banned, we'll be able to ban all the right wingers. Mm-hmm. And there was a article about the Wall Street Journal article. I forget the exact headline, but it was like a Gizmodo or something linked to it. And the headline was, hold on for your tinfoil hat, or hold on to your tinfoil hat. YouTube's coming for you, Alex Jones. And they linked to the Wall Street Journal article that was a subscription article. But the thing was, the Wall Street Journal was actually telling its prospectus investors, don't worry about old legacy medium. Don't worry about News Corp. We're going to ban all the competition, so you want to invest with us. So I went on air and said, this is coming. We're first. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, my gosh, how does Jones know this? He got banned first. He said for 9 months he'd be banned. There was a Wall Street Journal 30-page article saying it.
Yeah.
So my biggest frustration, Mr. Wood, is that 95% of the time I'm only reporting on what they're saying. But like they're gods up here in the Elysium Fields. They talk about us like parents at the big table at Thanksgiving, and we're little kids at the kids' table. It's time for us to get to the adult table and actually hear what's being said and what's being done. So, I mean, people can say, how do you know this? How do you know that? I pay attention to the Council on Foreign Relations, to the Bilderberg Group, to the Davos Group, to the UN, to the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation. The current former head of the Carnegie Foundation runs the CIA. I mean, they tell you what they're going to do. We're going to end the family. We're going to end masculine males. We're going to cut off the resources. We're going to control people through poverty. They've told us. I mean, it's not hard. That's what's so frustrating.
So the new economy definitely has to be built. I think we're making a lot of progress with new media, such as yourself, the new social media channels, Getter, Gab, and others are coming on strong. Truth. I feel that those outlets you're discussing are losing power. Do you feel that, or do they still have enough power to impact the 2022 election and beyond? I'm talking Twitter, Facebook, all those.
Well, I'm really glad that there's a whole constellation of independent media and independent social media networks that are allowing freedom to take place, but it's still embryonic.
Yeah.
The fact that Twitter and Instagram and its parent company, Facebook, and YouTube and its parent company, Google, are still censoring and really developing real-time AI, censoring even comments in live time, I think we can't underestimate the power of that and how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, despite the fact that they are in control of the corporate systems, we are gaining ground very, very quickly, but I don't know if it's enough. I don't know. Yeah.
Talk to us about, do you want to say anything about the Connecticut issue? I'll just offer that up. I mean, I wasn't going to go into it, but do you want to say anything to the viewers about that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on air 3-4 hours a day, and I barely ever even talked about Sandy Hook. And when Hillary was running against Trump 6 years ago, they zoomed in on a few statements I made and blew those up. So we were never Sandy Hook people. We barely ever covered it. We weren't the first to question what happened. The internet didn't believe it. We looked at the anomalies, but they blew that up and made it my personality. And then filed these lawsuits and are hyping it up using my name to then not just go after the Second Amendment, but the First Amendment as well. And so we've had two judges with two cases in Texas, one case in Connecticut, all default me, despite the fact we gave them all the documents. But because there wasn't a case there of defamation, or there wasn't a case like they thought of, like, secret behind-the-scenes planning to make money off Sandy Hook, they defaulted me so these judges could then launch this new model, which Mother Jones and CNN and MSNBC admit is the model to take down all populist voices by defaulting us in blue city jurisdictions they control and then basically finding us liable. So, look, it's a 40-something million dollar judgment. There's a cap in Texas at $5-something million, but I don't even have that much money. So we're going to appeal it, but I'm not worried about it. I didn't get into this for money. I got divorced 6 years ago, had no money at the end of that divorce. They told the jury I'm worth $400 million. I'm not worth $5 million. And so it's really just all a projection. It's all theater. It's all a mirage. And I see through it. I just hope the listeners see through it. But it's all a message. If you stand up, if you speak out, we're going to destroy you.
So the fact that they're making you do two trials at exactly the same time and exactly right before the midterms tends to put credence behind what you're saying, is that it's made to shut you down and shut your voice prior to the midterms, even though there looks like a huge red wave, but they're going to try to cheat as much as possible. So they're trying to get any margin they can, right?
Well, let's be clear. Mm-hmm. They just ended the first trial a week and a half ago. Now they have coming up in the next month, two trials simultaneously, where I've already been found guilty by the judge. And then the jury is to decide how guilty I am. And the judge in the last trial 2 weeks ago kept saying 20 plus times, he is guilty. And I said, I'm innocent. She said, kick the jury out. She said, Mr. Jones, you're a liar. You just perjured yourself. You are not innocent. You are guilty. Well, how Orwellian is that, that a judge says you're perjuring yourself because you say you're innocent? So for me, it's not that I'm being persecuted. America is being persecuted. Due process is being raped. And so I just see it as a signpost or an indicator, like an engine warning light of how much trouble America's in. My friends, my family, they say, how are you taking this? How are you being demonized on every channel every day and being so upbeat? Well, I mean, we have 30,000 to 40,000 children a month, according to whistleblowers in the Border Patrol, of children as young as 6 months old being handed to people with no records of who they are. We have mass human trafficking. We have mass vaccine reactions. We have mass death. So I'm not happy about what's happening to me, but as a man, I've got my four limbs. I'm still strong and young. I actually feel guilty that I'm not doing enough to fight these people. I don't feel sorry for myself. I am like watching our republic be destroyed in front of me. And I expect to be attacked because we're over the target. And so that's where we are. But when the history books are written, if we reverse this and we look back on this time, I mean, this is the time of the great American tyranny. This is the time of just absolute evil. And so I really feel sorry for everybody. I'm really upset, but I got to be honest with listeners and viewers. Thanks for visiting InfoWars. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting us. We're kind of a rallying point now in the fight for freedom, but don't look at me as a victim. I'm a man that decided to step into the arena and fight these people. Who they're really attacking is our children.
And their futures. Yeah.
Their futures.
So speaking of the future, I think you came out recently and said you were more inclined to, and tell me if this is true or not, you were more inclined to support DeSantis than President Trump. You want to talk about that a little bit? DeSantis came out today and said he's arresting election fraud, people that voted but were felons or whatever. And he's done a lot in the state, but he hasn't really gone after the election fraud itself in Florida with the machines, et cetera. So I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not a politico, so I'm not trying to get a job with DeSantis or Trump. Mm-hmm. I really love President Trump, what he did standing up to China and for the borders and for national sovereignty and tax cuts. But he keeps promoting these shots that don't work. and cause problems. So DeSantis has come out and said we were lied to about the shots a few days ago. Yeah. And I said, that for me is a Rubicon. The fact that he's doing that, I want to support DeSantis because Trump is a very animalistic person in a good way. If he sees his grassroots supporting DeSantis, he will come out against the shot and admit, like Bolsonaro and others, that he was lied to. So it's not out of hatred of Trump that I am attacking him. It's out of realizing if I'm in his camp and I explain to him that these shots with his constituents are a big issue, he may finally not just not promote the shots anymore, but actually come out against him. So I said on air in like an hour-long, you know, rant that I still love Trump. I want to back him for president. But if he doesn't do the right thing, I'll back DeSantis. The media edited that down to 30 seconds. It's got millions and millions of views on Twitter, you name it, of out of context me saying, if you don't do this, Trump, I'm not going to support you, which I knew they do. But the full clip is where I'm at. And yeah, DeSantis isn't perfect either. You know, went to Yale, connected to Skull and Bones. I mean, I'm not naive about that. It's just that if you really balance things, of DeSantis saying the vaccine doesn't work, the masks are a fraud, critical race theory is a fraud, sterilizing kids is a fraud, the borders are wide open, it's a fraud. He's just more hardcore than Trump. And I'm hoping, and I said this, by the way, in the show, I wasn't being manipulative. Mm-hmm. I said, I hope by supporting DeSantis, it makes Trump get more hardcore.
So the book is The Great Reset. Talk to me about Europe. Is Europe lost? I mean, these are the great civilizations of Western civilization, you know, from Eastern Europe to West. Eastern Europe obviously is more hardcore, preserve what they built. But is Western Europe lost? Is there any way back? You see the UK now stopping white men from flying fighter planes. I mean, it's just off the charts.
Well, let's write an article right here. The RAF going to have to shut down because they won't hire white pilots. I mean, that's really happening. You know, there's a lot of reason Europe's in decline, and there's a lot of reasons to explain it, but I'll explain it right now. And the most simple input is this. 300 years ago, you did not want to face a Frenchman. They were the most warlike, Norman, aggressive killers there were, except for the Brits, who were also Norman. So the French were like the badasses. Well, we all know since World War I, World War II, the French are wimps. Not on overall, but on average. And it's because the French, if you go back 100 years ago or 200 years ago, were like 6'2 on average, bigger than anybody else. Now they're short because all the men died. And so Europe's problem is they've had so many giant wars that only the men that hid, only the men that cowered, only the men that climbed under the table lived. And so France and Europe, and look at Germany, 20 million dead people, almost all their men, they are been left with the weaklings. And you could say the Bible says the meek will inherit the earth. It's kind of true. America's never had wars like this. Sure, we've lost 600,000, 700,000 here and a million there in the Civil War, but we've never had wars where half the men are dead. And France and Germany and Austria and Spain before that, that's why their empire fell apart. I mean, Spanish used to be complete badasses, the Portuguese.
Yeah.
But they had war after war after war after war where you'd have 20, 30, 40% of the men die every generation. And so you just got a bunch of wimps that are left. And I'm not pushing war, but that's why Germany and France, they just, there's the, any men that were willing to fight got wiped out in wars. All those genetics are gone. And so that flower of Renaissance and creativity and also manliness and nonconformity is gone. So Europe was the great example 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago with the Gutenberg press. Now Europe is like China, it's conformist. I mean, you know, everybody knows China's been around 5,000 years. And they had major purges of men that wouldn't bow down. They had mass executions of men in China. So the men in China, on average, are conformist. The men in Europe are now conformist. So we can look at Europe and say, oh, you're pathetic, you roll over, you're a wimp. Really? No. We haven't had wars where 30, 40% of the men die, And so that's why we're such a brain trust of genetic resistance, whether we be black, white, old, young, it doesn't matter, is because we still have some of the wild genetics that Europe doesn't have.
So that makes me think about Russia, where you had massive death also. You had, you know, 20 plus million die in the Great Patriotic War, and then you had Stalin killed another 20 to 40 million, depending on the number, a lot of Ukrainians and elsewhere. So that definitely impacted their civilization.
There's no doubt the Russians aren't as badass as they were. I mean, the Russians, like 500 years ago, the whole world talked about them, like 6'5" badasses, mm-hmm. berserkers. Everybody was scared of them, and now the average Russian's a little guy like me, comparatively. Yeah. I'm a big guy compared to average people. You know, I mean, that's it. We've wiped our men out. Mm. That's an argument against war. I mean, we've Russia's wiped its men out. We've wiped our men. I mean, the Germans and Russians, not putting down my grandfathers that were both in the Army Air Corps, mm-hmm. but they were the end of the war. I mean, 23 True. Million dead Russians, 22 million dead Germans. I mean, those were men slaughtering each other. I mean, that takes some big cojones to have 45 million people kill each other.
Yeah.
Like that's that. So that's why we've got all this feminine males and all this, because we wiped out the cream of the crop. Those wars were horrible. They were stupid. And it's depleted Russia. It's depleted Europe. It's depleted everybody.
It makes you wonder what the anti-masculinity stuff in the U.S. is. That's kind of tied to the same agenda. And if war is part of that, you know, I was over in Ukraine during the invasion in Kiev when I didn't believe that Putin was going to go in. And then I get a call from my son. It's like, you know, strategic airstrikes, surgical airstrikes coming your way. You better go. So I left. But it's fascinating to me, that region of the world and how they have been impacted by history that most people don't understand. And I was worried that Biden was going to try to get us in a conflict over there for that same reason, to sap our resources.
Well, absolutely. It's mm-hmm. Look. Saudi Arabia is now the global number one exporter. I saw the news today, even the Wall Street Journal reported, Saudi Arabia made more money, profit, than Apple, Google, General Motors, like the top 6-7 U.S. corporations combined. Got the mm-hmm. article somewhere in my stack. And that was done on purpose. Biden's a globalist. He won't let us drill. He won't let us have pipelines. But Russia and India and China and Mexico and Venezuela, they can all do it. So this is a larger globalist plan. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. it. And going back to men, as emasculated as America is, and as the rest of the world is, still a lot of the Eastern Europeans are not emasculated. And that's why George Soros and the left are targeting them, because they know from male energy and male masculinity comes nationalism and taking care of your wife and your children. And they don't want anybody there that'll stand up for themselves. They just want a bunch of men that'll lay down.
Yeah, we're seeing that across the board. How do we dismantle this animal? The book is The Great Reset. Everybody should get it to really understand what's going on. But how do we dismantle this Leviathan?
We have to build our own economies. We have to build our own infrastructure. We have to build our own information networks. And we have to, doesn't mean we don't stay at a corporate hotel sometimes. Doesn't mean we don't, you know, own a corporate car. The point is, when we can, we support independent media, independent restaurants, independent farms, independent factories. We start repairing old vehicles. We start learning how to be humans again. Like my grandfathers, both knew how to do electrical and how to roof a house and
and
you know how to cook dinner and how to. And my grandmothers did as well. And I look at myself compared to most men. I know how to do more things than almost all men I know. And I'm an idiot compared to my grandfathers, because they had to do it all themselves. And I remember they would get on top of a roof and roof it as high as a kite, naturally just enjoying a job. Or they would go out and you know, bale hay all day long, like they were just enjoying it. And it's that love of work and that love of energy and that love of being the alpha male that's going to bring us back. And we also have that seed in us. I think if we rediscover our ancestors and just become aggressive and try to amass through the free market and through entrepreneurial work as much capital as possible, not because we want to be big wigs, not because we want to show off money, but because they want to make us poor to control us. It's our jobs to become as wealthy and successful and to build the biggest infrastructures of independence as we can. And if we do that, everybody wants mom and pop. Everybody wants independent media. Everybody wants the small farm. Everybody wants to go get their car fixed at the cool shop that's, you know, where they make the parts themselves. And that's why they don't want cars that can be fixed by regular shops. It's why they want everything to be driverless, because they want to take us out of the equation because we are so powerful, because we are so amazing. Get back to a human economy. Get back to not worshiping humanity. We worship God, but we also should appreciate God's creation and really start appreciating handmade, really start appreciating grassroots, really start appreciating real femininity, real masculinity. And like I say, that's who we want to be. We get back to that, we're going to win.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a freeing experience once you stop going to the big box retailers and once you get off all these, you know, communist networks and start living life again. You don't realize how much choice you had forfeited over the years when you were just going to, you know, some big store and buying Chinese garbage instead of doing it yourself or making it yourself or finding a local manufacturer. What agencies should we take down or not take down, but build back better? or should we just eliminate certain agencies?
Well, I mean, look, I had Savannah Hernandez on, mm-hmm. who works for Truth Social for President Trump. Mm-hmm. But the great work Trump's doing, he's got an army of reporters out there that are just kicking ass. So when I criticize Trump, it's from a loyal opposition perspective. And she went down to the border and interviewed a Border Patrol whistleblower. And I don't just believe her. We've gone and done it ourselves too, but it's even worse. 30 to 40,000 in Texas alone. This is a senior manager. 30 to 40,000 children as young as 6 months old with no IDs being given to people with no IDs.
Yeah.
Like you go buy a cheeseburger, they want your ID. You go rent a car, they want your ID. These are little babies on video. Not just the whistleblower. She has the footage of it happening. Handing babies over to people to totally disappear. Do any of us feel safe under that? And so where is the FBI while they're put 1,000 people in jail and want to arrest thousands more and have me under subpoena and have indicted two of my crew members that just covered the Capitol event? They have nothing to stand on. I don't want to be enemies with the FBI. I don't want them to be so dishonorable. I'm not even trying to abolish them. They have abolished themselves. And so, yes, I believe the ATF, the BATF, the FBI, the NSA, CIA, all these agencies need to be abolished. Back to 1947, the National Security Act. And we should have Navy intelligence, Army intelligence. We should have Marine Corps intelligence. We should have Air Force intelligence. And that's it. We need what was constitutionally put in place of U.S. military intelligence that looks out at foreign enemies, interfaces with domestic groups, and the FBI should be broken up into, there's a lot of different ways to do it, but it's a complex issue, mm-hmm. but they obviously need federal marshals, but it can be left to the states what's investigated, and the states are going to clean this problem up. But the FBI is not going out and stopping child trafficking. They're not going out and stopping fentanyl. They're not doing anything of any real import because they've become a commissar, a commissariat, a political enforcement arm. And so, yeah, they have extincted themselves. They should all be abolished. Their agencies should be torn up and thrown to the wind as not a good guy, but still realize what he'd done. Harry Truman, 2 years after the CIA was set up, said, "What have we done? We should tear the CIA into 1,000 pieces." Because yeah. We now have a rogue bureaucracy that thinks it's God, that can do whatever it wants.
And has no accountability and has the power to surveil and do whatever else. So, Alex, thank you. I appreciate the time. Where is the best place for people to get the Great Reset?
Well, Amazon.com, we're trying to push it number one. It's been as high as number 7 on Amazon.com. And you can get it at InfoWarsStore.com. And I'm really proud of the book, and I'm not trying to put the book down. Could have been, like I said, 5,000 pages long. Mm-hmm. It's their admissions. It's the plans of the Death Star. And I want to ask you, Mr. Wood, to come on my show. Big fan of your work. And I'm sorry that I was sleeping in my office and was a little bit late after the broadcast today. But thank you so much for having me. And I really, really do appreciate your time. And God bless you.
Thank you, Alex. Take care. Appreciate your time as well.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, this book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, the left and the mainstream media are going to have to sit there And we've got to force them to respond to this book. This book is that important. Alex Jones cuts to the heart of the matter. If you compare the finest, and I'm telling you, you take MIT Technology Review, you take Science, take all these magazines and journals, add the electronic part of it, and you know, NPR, PBS, all of it. I'll match up, and we'll go through, and we'll do what Alex Jones put out there versus what your collective body has put out there. And if you're a sentient human being and just watching it, you say, well, God, Alex Jones was ahead of this. Not only that, he kind of explained it.
They're just in this huge revolution against choice and free will and normal technological development and adoption of technology that empowers humanity. Instead, they want adoption of technology, forced adoption, world IDs, global social credit scores, carbon taxes that dominate and monitor every facet of our lives.
You make the case of what the not just the new world order is, but using this great reset to really take up this whole idea of control and authoritarianism.
They have decided to trigger a controlled collapse and then bring in a new dark age to control the general public, where they will be in their Elysium fields. There is no new technology coming in. They're blocking that. And so really they're just imploding things under the cloud pivot model so that they can get that control over us.
Alex Jones cuts to the heart of the matter.
He has presented tons of valid evidence and facts that I think have been really, really important to raising consciousness to what the sort of technocratic global elite really want to do.
The true thing that you've done, which is stunning, if you look at the evidence of that and the facts, you are one of the great thinkers of this. That is very rare. You've got to go back almost to the revolutionary generation and see that. This book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, I'm telling you, everybody in America, the people that hate Alex Jones the most have to read this book. This is no beach read. You're not going to be flipping pages here. You're going to be having a pen out and you're going to be underlining stuff. It's amazing.
The Great Reset and the War for the World by Alex Jones. Available now at Amazon and InfoWarsStore.com.